glad I'm a part of the family of God, aren't you?
Amen.
As we walk the earth, living our lives, to be a part of God's eternal family is a blessing beyond compare. A lot of people don't have that experience, but you do, and praise the Lord for that. And if you're here and you don't know that you're a part of the family of God, I pray that you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Glad you're here. We have several who are visiting. We're glad that you've come to visit with us this morning. Pray that the Holy Spirit will just bless you. And for those that might be listening in the parking lot or those who are listening later on the website, we pray God's blessings upon you as you listen. Same Holy Spirit speaks through our car radio or speaks through the computer or here in the service. May we pray. Father God, as we come into your presence, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all of those who've gathered here in this service. We thank you, Father, for those who might be listening later. And Lord, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome. We know that you're here. You know what our needs are. You know if there's a person here that's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know if there's a person here that needs a physical healing. A person that needs some comfort, a direction in life. Father, perhaps there's someone with a financial need. But Lord, you know all about those. So, Father, we come, and as we worship you and we praise you, we thank you that out of your great, great generosity, out of your love and your mercy, your grace, you reach down and touch us and meet our needs. And most of all, Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It is so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you this morning. And as Pastor has already said, welcome to the visitors. And indeed, if you're a visitor with us today, you are indeed our special guest. And we thank you for being here, and we hope you can come back and be with us very, very soon. As we do every morning, every Sunday morning, we have a hymn sing of the church, the hymn of the church. And as we had in the Sunday school lesson this morning about worship, I want you to focus on Jesus today. Focus on worshiping him. And all the disruptions that you've had in the past or have been bothering you, try to get them out of your way and get them out of your eyes. And let's focus upon Jesus this morning. Let's all stand and talk about it while we're here. Brethren, we've met to worship. 379, your book, or it's on the board. All four verses of Brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore.
stand for prayer, please.
Dear Lord, I thank you that I just come out from your house today to hear your words. It looks good to pass through the words that we need to hear today so that we'll be able to live our lives next week the way that you intend for us to live. For the many on our prayer list, the unspoken prayers, the things we may not even know about, help to lay your hand on each situation and your will be done. And for the money we're about to receive, use the Lord that build your kingdom. All these things we ask in your name.
If that hymn we sang a while ago sounded old to you, it's because it was. It goes back into the 1800s. Probably one of the oldest hymns that we'll sing. But I thought it, if you just follow through the verses, you'll see, Pastor, that too is preachable as you go all the way through it and see what our responsibilities are. We got worship on the mind, Brother Jim, this morning after our Sunday school lesson this morning. But again, it's so good to see you all, and I have some announcements I want to share with you. First, we'll start with tonight. There'll be no services here tonight, but Wednesday night we will have our Bible study at 6:30, and then we'll have choir practice following that. So every one of you ladies, and I'm going to get you now, but every one of you ladies that were in that choir last Sunday with the Ladies' Day need to be at choir practice, so we hope to see you, okay? You all sound beautifully. And can you imagine what you could do if you did it every Sunday? Just to think about that a little bit. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to in additions to the choir. That was very, very, very beautiful. Yeah.
It certainly gets better than the men's choir did last.
Well, I have to say that'd be true. You don't have to bring it up, but I guess you did. But, no, we didn't do very well. So we need help. That's what he's saying in a nice way.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not in a nice way. I don't know. But we could use help. So y'all come and be part of choir practice. We'd love to have you. Anybody that loves to sing in the choir, we'd love to have you. And don't say I can't sing like the pastor does. I mean, that didn't come out right, did it? You can't sing like the pastor does. But anyway, he says he can't, but he can. I hear him over there singing. He can definitely do it. So come and be with us Wednesday night, not only for choir practice, but also come and listen to our Bible study. You'll find that very, very good. We're at the book of Romans, okay? Do that. So, updates, phone numbers, don't forget. You need, if you got a new phone or you've got updates, please make sure you get them updated so our pastors, so our customers, the list will be correct for our family list, okay? Updates on addresses. If they got in your bulletin today, you'll see Pat Burgess' address, new, and, of course, Betty Davis is now at Trinity Place. So keep that in your mind and hearts, too. While we're talking about the Davis family, I think you all got your one call, but just in case some of you did not get a one call, the Davis family has decided not to do a funeral at this particular time, that there will be a celebration of life, that service that will be held in the early spring. And that's all I have to tell you about that right now. And Betty, after I talked to her yesterday, said that maybe she could come to that, so that would be nice. So that's the way it's all planned, the Scott Davis family. Okay? Do I have any announcements that I may have missed this morning? Yes, dear. Youth will be here. Yes, all right, youth, be in your place next Sunday. And Pastor, I guess that we'll be in our place with
next Sunday.
So we'll have our prayer. The adults will have our prayer together at 5. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I talked to Betty this week too, and she said, I asked her, I said, Betty, is there anything we can do for you? She said, yeah, pray. Just pray for us. And she said, and support me. And I said, well, you have the support of the church. You do. So, good point that her birthday, and also a good point that take a chime and send her a card. Call her. You can do that too. She'd love to talk to you, so she's open for that. Are there others this morning? Okay, and with that being said, we'll go to our prayer list this morning. I have several that I have heard already this morning. Of course, Betty Davis, who we just said, the Scott Davis family, Frank Carroll. We need to lift up Frank Carroll and pray for his wife especially. I think that hospice has come in and is working with the family, so let's do that. We have several missing today that are traveling. So we have traveling mercy that I would like to ask for us to remember Gary and Tonda and their families. They're all on a cruise, I believe, but they're all traveling. Let's remember them. Tamara and Lionel are still in Wilmington with the Wade family. They had their celebration of life service yesterday. So let's remember that whole family along with Lionel and Tamara as they travel home. Kathy High is, you may have missed her already this morning. I have. And that she's out today because she's under the weather. So let's remember her. Do I have others this morning that we need to remember?
The family of Tad Dawkins.
Tad Dawkins, okay. Okay, Tad Dawkins family, okay. Others?
Colin Hester. Colin Nestor.
Oh, Nestor, okay. Oh, my goodness. So, okay. How old is he?
I think he's 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So I knew he had to be young to be Jeff Gordon. I just curious. All right. Are there others in this morning? All right. That being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, and we come to you knowing, Lord, that you are the true and living God. You're the awesome, you're the Yahweh, you're the one and only God. And we come to you, Lord, with thanks, with thankful hearts that we come. We thank you, first of all, for the blessings you've already given us. As I look around this room today, Lord, I see blessings all throughout. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us before we loved you. But now, Lord, as we think about further in this prayer, Lord, we won't remember those who've been mentioned this morning, and we lift them up to you specifically, Lord, and mention them and call them by name. We pray for Betty Davis, Lord, as she is at Trinity Place and as she is not only recovering from illness, but Lord, and bones and Scott, but we're praying, Lord, that we remember the Scott Davis family with her. We pray for Frank Carroll this morning, Lord, and lift him up and his wife, Lord, especially. We pray for travel mercies for Gary and Tonda, for Lionel, for Tamara. And also, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the Wade family. Continue to pray for them. We pray for Kathy Hyde this morning, who is under the weather. We pray for Tad Dawkins and for Colin Hester. Those, Lord, we lift up to you, Lord, and ask that you would fit a blessing to their bodies and to their hearts. And Lord, we know if you fit that blessing to them, Lord, it will be a perfect one. And we ask your mercy, and we ask your blessings to be upon them. We ask for a blessing upon the further continuation of our service today. We ask for Brother Ed as he comes before us. We pray for him, strengthen him. And I know you've already given a message for today, and help us to receive it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Go with us now throughout the rest of the day, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we'll remember the lost. Let us be burdened for the lost people, and help us to be a witness next week, I pray. And I pray this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we got a song of worship today. This is the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let's pray and be glad in it. All that word, being glad in it. How many is glad this morning? Oh, you're gladder than that. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you that glad or are you more?
More.
Amen. That's good to see. Let's all stand and sing, "This is the day." I'm going to ask you to repeat this chorus before we're through. Okay, let's do that. This is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. Brenda. The traveling music. I want to say a special thank you to this young lady over here on the organ. How many years now, Brenda?
65
years. And I tell you what, say a big thank you to her with an applause if you do that. I just believe in saying please and thank you. That's all. And thank you, Brenda. Okay, Pastor.
It's interesting. I think I put in a newsletter a few months ago that Brenda and the lady that played the organ in the church in the mountains and the one in Siler City, all of them started about the time they had to pick them up and sit them on the organ bench. And all three of them been faithful for over 50 years. And you know, churches are blessed, really, really blessed, when they have somebody they can depend on year after year after year to be there faithfully. And I know that there are times they come when they'd rather been home in bed, but they show up anyway because of their commitment to their church and to the Lord. You know, if we're truly believers in Jesus Christ, we have the Lord living within us. And so no matter where we go, he's with us. I mean, if we go to church, he's with us. If we go to work, he's with us. If we go to school, he's with us. If we go to someplace we shouldn't go, he's grieved, but he's still with us. So you can always count on the fact that the Lord is going to be with you. But according to the Bible, there are some places and times when God shows up in special ways, out of the ordinary ways, powerful ways, wonderful ways. The presence of God just comes in a very special way. Now, what are some things that we can do to get the Lord excited enough to join us? What are some things you can do? Well, turn with me first to Psalm 22. And Leonard's already talked about it. Your Sunday school class lesson has already been about it. But one of the things that the Lord gets the Lord excited is our praise and our worship. Psalm 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." It says God lives in, God dwells in, God takes up residence in our praises. And if you want to get the Lord excited and you want to get the Lord's anointing on your life in a special way, learn to worship him, learn to praise him, learn to honor him. You remember when Jesus told us, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt." What's the first thing? Hallow the name of the Lord. Honor the Lord. Worship the Lord. Now, I imagine most of you here have been guilty of the same thing I've been guilty of from time to time. You go to pray and you say, "Now, Lord, I need money to pay the rent and my car insurance is due and blah, blah, blah. And I need this and this and this. And oh, by the way, Lord, forgive me for messing up yesterday and for sinning. And thank you, Lord. Bye." And all I've done is give him my shopping list. Now, maybe you've never done that, but I've done that a few times. But Jesus says you don't start with your shopping list. You start with hallowing, honoring, and praising him. You honor and worship the Lord. Then we get to the other point. And it gives us a whole lot more feeling of confidence and faith when we worship the Lord first. You say, "But preacher, I just don't feel like it sometimes." The book of Isaiah says you can put on the garment of praise instead of depression. That's not the word that the King James uses, but we can have the spirit of praise. In other words, when you got up this morning, most of you had a choice what you're going to wear to church this morning. Well, you can get up every morning and you can put on a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, or you can put on the garment of heaviness, is the way the King James put it. We can choose. The Bible talks about offering to the Lord a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we praise him when we don't feel like praising him, but we still praise the Lord. Now, you can do it by reading various scriptures out loud. You can do it with your words. "I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord." You can use it with your singing. Now, we joke about my singing, and sometimes it is a joke. There are times I'm sitting there on the couch and I just go to singing praises to the Lord. It may be a hymn like "How Great Thou Art" or "To God Be the Glory," or it may be a praise chorus. And sometimes my little doggie will lay with her head on my knee, and sometimes she goes back to the bedroom. down the hall. But it doesn't matter whether she's listening or not, the Lord's listening to my praise and my worship. And you know, you can go in the deadest church in the world, and as long as you worship the Lord, he's going to show up in your pew. As long as you worship the Lord, he's going to be there. Thou that inhabitest the praises of his people. I encourage you. Now, sometimes I've been in churches where they sing these real fast praise choruses, and if I know it and I can keep up, I do. If I can't keep up, sometimes I just real quietly say, Lord, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, and try to make my I praise you sort of go along with the beat of the music. But just to let the Lord know how we honor him and worship him, he shows up. And it's an awesome thing when it's in your private prayer time, or when it's in a prayer group, or whether it's in church, when God shows up. So you have the Holy Spirit. He's always with you. But if you want God to show up in a special way, learn to praise him. Learn to worship him. Now, I want us to look at two New Testament passages for other ways that the Lord shows up. Matthew 28. And you may not have thought about these. And Mark 16. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then Mark 16, the last few verses of Mark, or Mark's version of what we've just read, beginning at Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. When a church or an individual gets excited about reaching the unsaved, the Lord shows up. Amen. When a church or an individual gets excited about reaching the lost, the Lord shows up. Now in Matthew 28, it says, And lo, I am with you always. Greek scholar says that word lo should be translated wow. Wow. God says, wow, you go witnessing to the lost folks and I'm going to show up. You can count on it. And in Mark, it says, when they went out witnessing, and the Lord worked with them, giving them power to do miracle working signs. In other words, the word of the New Testament was that when the church and individuals got excited about reaching people that didn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God says, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up in power as you go witnessing. And I know that over the years as I've been a pastor, at the times and seasons when my church, whichever one it was, got excited about the reaching the lost, there's something happened in the church. God showed up. God showed up. I know most of you know that I used to pastor at Prospect there in Albemarle. And you, if you know anything about that church now, it has exploded in growth since Brother Stoney's been there. They're baptizing 100 people a year. I don't know about in the last year or two, but because of COVID, but for years they were baptizing 100 or more people a year. They were knocking on doors. They were trying to reach people for Jesus. And because the church had a hunger and a thirst and a desire and a compulsion from the Lord to reach those who didn't know the Lord as Savior, God showed up. And God began to manifest himself in his glory and in his power in the life of that church. And it's always been that way. You know, you read in the book of Acts how Philip was a deacon. And because of the persecution, Philip goes up to Samaria and he begins to preach. And all of a sudden, multitudes of people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So much so that the church down in Jerusalem said, we better send some guys up there to see all that's going on and make sure those folks have got it right. But you see, because Philip was obedient to the Lord, a multitude of people in Samaria came into the family of God. The Lord shows up when we get excited about reaching the lost. Now let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Some of you guys in here, maybe one or two of you ladies, are deer hunters. Now on an ordinary day, those of you that deer hunters, you just get up and go to work, get up and go to Walmart, get up and go to the grocery store, whatever. But if you're going deer hunting, you go to your gun cabinet, get your gun, your high-powered rifle out, and some ammunition. You go, you're going to need that extra firepower if you're going deer hunting. The Lord looks down, I think it's, you know, sort of in a way, the Lord looks down from heaven and he says, they're just going to work today. They don't have souls on their mind. They don't have lost people on their mind. No, they need me showing up. Oh, they're going out. They're going to work, but they've got a heart believing that God's going to lead them to somebody that they can share Jesus. Lord says, I'm going to give them some firepower to do that. I'm going to give them some extra power so that when they go out and they encounter people, whether it's at work or at Walmart or across the backyard fence, there's going to be somebody there that, and then the Lord says, I'm going to show up and I give them a special anointing so that when they witness, there's an anointing on that witness that's going to change people's lives. It all depends on whether or not, you know, the Lord's got, you know, if we're not going to witness, he's got no obligation to really show up in power. If we're going to be a witness for Jesus for lost people, we've got to have special anointing to really be effective. And the Lord says, you get concerned about unsaved, and I'll show up. Wow, I will be with you to the end of the age. Now, at this point, be honest. Don't raise your hand. How many of you totally, literally, really believe in a literal hell? How many of you believe that the torment of hell is terrible? How many of you believe that hell is eternal forever? How many of you believe that those who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be there in hell forever? Now, mentally, I think everybody, probably everybody here that's a Christian, oh, preacher, yeah, I believe that, I believe that. But do we really? How seriously do we believe it? As I was thinking about this, a football illustration came to my mind that I'll share with you. Now, I like football, whether it's high school, college, or professional. And it seems like, for some reason, the games that I watched this year, a certain play happened more than in past years. Quarterback takes the ball, he hands it to the running back. The running back gets up there to the line of scrimmage. The blocking is good, so a couple of defensive men sort of slapping at him as he goes by, and he runs 70 yards to the end zone and a touchdown, untouched, untouched. But then on the other hand, sometimes you see the guy with the ball and he's at the 5-yard line and he's straining to score, but a defensive man has him around the legs holding on for dear life trying to prevent him from scoring. You see the picture. All right. You know, I've been in this preaching business for over 60 years. 60 years ago, it seemed like most Christians were like that defensive guy holding on for dear life to the lost people. Now it's like so many lost people are just running untouched straight to hell. And we just sort of slap at them as they go by. How concerned are we about the lost people? I remember, I got saved at 8, baptized at 9. It was over 40 years before my daddy got saved. And I agonized over my daddy in prayer for 40 years. It was like I had him around the legs saying, oh God, don't let him die and go to hell. Oh God, don't let him die and go to hell. Oh God, I know it's your will that not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, oh God, please save him. Oh, God, I know you said it to send forth laborers to the harvest. Please send somebody to Daddy to witness to them that he'll listen to them. Oh, God, I'm looking for the rapture, but, Lord, please don't let the rapture come before Daddy gets saved. And for 40 years, I felt like I had my daddy around the legs, and he was about to dive into hell, and I was trying to hold him back. And finally, right before he died, he got saved. Now, I imagine that my mom and maybe some others were praying for my daddy, but for me, it was a weekly prayer. For me, it was just, oh, I'm holding on to my daddy. I'm holding on to my daddy in prayer that he come to the Lord Jesus Christ before he goes to hell. Because I believe in hell, and I believe it's eternal, and I believe it's terrible. And it seems to me that when I first started preaching 60-something years ago, and of course, I remember, you know, I walked to church for Wednesday night prayer meeting before I was 10 years old. And it seemed like to me, at prayer meeting, people named, pray for Bill or Joe or Sue or Janie or whoever, they're going to hell. Pray for them to be saved. How many times people came up to me and said, Pastor, so-and-so is lost. Would you pray for them? How many times people came up to me and said, Pastor, so-and-so is lost. Would you go with me to witness? I may not have the right answers. I may not know the right scriptures. Would you go with me to witness? And sad to say, I can't remember the last time anybody did any of that. Hardly. How real do we think hell is? Jesus says he will show up in power when we decide that we're concerned about lost people. Are we just waving at them and slapping at them as they run through on the 70-yard dash untouched into hell, or are we holding on to them with dear life in agonizing prayer. Folks, it's too important not to care. It's too important not to care. Now, let's just be honest. Don't raise your hand or do anything but this. How many of you sitting right here listening to me this morning, you've got somebody around the legs in agonizing prayer for them to be saved before it's too late? How many of us? How many of us? And how many of us are just going about our daily life, doing our own thing, while all around us, people are sweeping themselves into hell, untouched. No prayer. No witness. You know, Jesus there in both Matthew and in Mark says, listen, go out and make disciples, reach people for me. If we don't do that, we miss the whole purpose. We miss the whole purpose. I mean, it's wonderful when we can do good works and we can feed the hungry and we can minister to the sick and to the hurting. That's all a part of being in ministry. But the key is for people to know Jesus. If somebody has a full stomach and clothes on their back and dies to go to hell, that don't help them. But if somebody knows Jesus, that makes all the difference in the world. Every so often, on my phone, they'll pop up a little thing. The richest people in America, the richest men in America, the richest women in America, the richest people in the world, and I'll start naming all these people who've got millions and billions of dollars. And I wonder, but do they know Jesus? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he owns the whole world but loses his soul? Jesus told a story of a rich man, said he fared sumptuously every day. But one day he woke up in torment, and all of his money couldn't buy him one drop of water to cool his tongue. And I can't imagine how it would be to have a few billion dollars in the bank, sit down to a gourmet meal, servants waiting on you, even if they're paid, going to bed in a luxurious bed, and waking up in torment. And all of a sudden, all of those billions of dollars mean nothing. If you want Jesus to show up at Barber's Grove Baptist Church, we're going to get serious about lost people. Amen. Jesus is going to show up when we worship. He's going to show up when we praise him. He's going to show up when we get serious about lost people. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And don't chicken out because you're too old or too young. I'm going to pick on my little granddaughter, Maggie. She just graduated from high school in Australia. But when she was in kindergarten now, there at a school in Oklahoma, she came in and says, one day says, Mama says, I forgot the little girl's name, Susie doesn't know Jesus. Next day she comes in and she says, Mama, I know you're not supposed to talk when you're in line, But Susie knows Jesus now. I don't know what she did, what she said, and whether they were on the line to the playground, on the line to the cafeteria, the library, but Maggie had a heart for a little lost classmate. And Maggie shared Jesus, even though she knew she wasn't supposed to be talking in line. I think the Lord forgave Maggie. I don't know whether the teacher did, but I think the Lord forgave Maggie, because somebody's in heaven or will go to heaven because a little kindergarten kid had a concern for a lost classmate. So don't give me this junk about I'm too young or I'm too old. How real do we think hell is? How hot do we think it is? How eternal is it? Who goes there? Those who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you want Jesus to show up in your life? You want Jesus to show up in our church? Let's get excited about reaching lost people. And when we get excited about reaching lost people, wow, I will be with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? As I preached this morning, how many of you were under conviction as you thought about somebody that you knew that's on their way to hell? And you know it. You've been knowing it, but you really haven't done a lot about it. Would you reach out in prayer and grab them by the legs this morning and begin to pray for their soul? Really pray for their soul. How many of you are under conviction of somebody you need to go and share Jesus with? Lord's been telling you to do it, but you just haven't. You kept putting it off. Where would they be if the rapture comes before we get out of this building? Would you pray and ask the Lord to give you a burden for the unsaved? And would you ask the Lord to give you a joy of praise and worship? Father God, you know our hearts. Please help us not to be apathetic, lukewarm, unconcerned, while all around us people are dashing untouched 70 yards straight to hell. Oh, Father, give us a burden that we will not turn loose. We will not turn loose. But in agonizing prayer, faith-filled prayer, Bible-filled prayer, we will be your mouthpiece, your prayer warriors, in a world that's fast, fast, fast heading in the wrong direction. And Lord, I thank you that, wow, you do show up when we praise you and when we get concerned about the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have an invitation, if you need to come to the altar and pray for yourself or for somebody else, would you come? If there's some decision the Lord's laying on your heart that you want to share with me, just feel free to come.
Stand, please.
Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, give you joy, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.